We ready with the video? I can't see behind you, Brother David. Oh, I see. Okay. Now you can be seated. I thought we were going to have to sing, but they're ready with the video. All right. So I'm going to clip the lights out, and then Brother Steve Marilla. Brother Steve is a graduate of our college. He is going home, praise the Lord, to Kenya. And I'm going to let him tell you what he's going to do. Come on, brother. All right, going to show the video.
I was born in Kenya. My name is Steve Murilla. I'm from Kenya, Africa. I was born in Kenya in a city called Nairobi City. That's the capital city of Kenya. And I was born in a suburb area called Kawangware slums. Kawangware is a very rough area full of crime and immorality. And when I was 11 years old, I went to a youth camp far away from home, and I went there for about a week. My dad is a pastor and my mom is a teacher, so I thought I got it and I got everything settled. But when I went to a camp, a preacher preached about heaven and hell. Camp Monday night, I wasn't moved at all. Wednesday night, I wasn't moved at all. But on Thursday night, I was like, man, I gotta do it, you know. So on Thursday night, I went to the altar and received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And I'm so glad that Jesus came and saved my sins, and he came to save me. You know, and when I was 15 years old, I used to go with my dad planting different churches in the bush area. And, you know, and that time I said, Dad and Mom, I'm just ready to do whatever the Lord has for me. And when I was 15, I surrendered myself and I said, I'm going to do anything that the Lord has in store for me. And I'm just ready, and I just started doing deputation. And one of my vision, you know, even the Bible talks about if there's no vision, people perish. And my vision is to go back to Kenya and build a youth camp, because there's a lot of kids, a lot of teenagers who are just lost into immorality. And I'm telling you, the area that I live, that Kawangware area, has a bunch of about 10,000 kids and youth who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's my burden. My burden is to go and proclaim the gospel to the youth. So if you can pray with me and let this burden just explaining to them about the gospel and how Jesus Christ died on the cross for us.
A country of great splendor and beauty, the size bigger than Texas, on the east shore of the Indian Ocean. Kenya is known as the wild animals and classic safaris, breathtaking sceneries and beautiful landscapes. The equator passes at the center of Kenya. Kenya has a population of 50 million people. Amongst the people, the dominant religion is Christianity. Islamic is growing rapidly, and other religions too. God has placed a burden to my heart to reach the people in Kenya so that their eyes may be opened to the truth and they can know how to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, our Savior. My desire is to see lost saved and people growing in the Lord, evangelizing the bush people. Kenya has 44 different languages. What do we value in life? Do we value pleasure? Do we value money? Do we value fame? The question is, what did Jesus value? The answer of this question is, Jesus valued people. He valued souls. When I think of Kenya, I think about people who was lost, needing the gospel more than anything. I see so many victory the Lord has given me to this nation of Kenya, just seeing people saved and the teenagers coming together in different camps, in different society, in different languages, just coming together because of the cause of Christ, teaching them and just seeing them grow. The gospel just going powerful and just seeing people getting saved and community changed and just people coming together and the Muslims getting saved, the Islamic people just getting saved. We can see God's hands and His provision and everything and how faithful He is just because of your prayers. And He will always meet our needs at His favorite time that He is willing to.
So that's my burden, and pray with me about the youth camp in Kenya. Thank you very much.
Amen. Well, Landmark has been my home, and it's just a blessing to be here again. And what a blessing we had tonight, all that meal, you know. And I was thinking when I was coming, I was thinking, should I just be on diet and all that? But every time I think being on diet, I just wash my mouth with chocolate, you know. And it's just a blessing, you know, and thank you very much, church, for just the love you showed us here. And it's been a blessing. Landmark is home away from home, you know, and you all know I'm from Kenya, and my burden is to go back and to work with the teenagers and the kids, you know, and you've seen all that pictures here. You know, America is a blessed country, and some people just take it for granted. And you all listen to sometimes they talk about these tribes that take their old people bones and gush it out and drink that concoctions. I can take you to that community in Kenya. You know, they do that. And some community drink cow blood, you know, they drink cow blood and mix it with milk. And they think that's their salvation. They think that's the way to go to heaven. You know, but when we tell them, hey, the only thing that will take you to heaven is receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And, you know, and the good thing is when I was 11, I got saved. And I'm so glad that, you know, I can't lose it. You know, I'm still till the day of redemption. You know, and what a blessing it is just to know and to know and to know that once we die, we're going to go to heaven. You know, that's my burden to go back to Kenya and work with the kids, work with the teenagers. Because, you know, we build foundations when they are young. And if I ask how many people got saved maybe between the age of 5 to 13 or maybe 13 to 20, you know, once you're young, you know the truth. And, you know, once someone is about 13 years old, they already know what they're going to believe. And once they are going maybe between 60 and 90, they say, it's hard to for someone to get saved when at that age. So that's why God just put a burden to that area to go back to that community, that little community. And people, you know, once they start meeting, they meet under a tree. And, you know, here when there's no AC, people complain and whine, you know, and there's no AC. And it's okay. It's a blessing. But the thing is, some people somewhere, they don't have the Word of God. They don't have the Bible. But they're still praising God. And you know, and you all know Brother Eddie Stanley, he takes the Bible to Kenya, you know, and he works with my dad as long as help ministry. You know, it's just a blessing to see the fruit of your labor. So don't stop praying for the missionaries. Be faithful, keep on going, and don't stop. Thank you very much, church.
Amen. Brother Burke's coming. We're going to sing again. Let's stand together. Brother Mahika, you go on to come on up, brother.
103, let the lower lights be burning. There's a great story that goes along with this, but I won't share it with you tonight. 103, Let the Lower Lights Be Burning.
Brightly beams our Father's mercy from His lighthouse evermore. But thus He gives a keeping of the lights upon the shore. Let the lower lights be burning and a gleam across the
last now.
Trim your feeble lamp, my brother. Some poor sailor tempest tossed, trying now to make the harbor in the darkness may be lost. Let the lower lights be burning, gleam across the
Thank you. You may be seated.
Just quickly say before Brother Mojica comes, Brother Steve has always done a great job for us here. And he's not only been a student, but he's done a lot of work. Many of you may not know that Brother Steve went to college before he was able to get into the States. And so he already had an IT degree before he came here, and he put that to work here and also taught a little bit in the college to help us. And I'm very proud of him, and we're looking forward to seeing what God will do in his life. And counseled with him some about the camp. And if there's a great need to have a camp ministry in America, then there's a great need to have a camp ministry in Africa, and especially in Kenya. Amen. And so we're looking forward to it. And Brother Steve loves young people, and he's learned some things even at camp here, didn't we, Brother Steve? Amen. Amen. And all right, Brother Mojica does not need an introduction here, but let me just say he's going to show us some things. He was not expecting to have to come home this soon from Paraguay. He's our missionary to Paraguay, sent out of here, and has been working very hard. I've had men call me and ask me questions about wanting to get on board because they see how much he's getting done in Paraguay. Amen. And so, Brother, you come and report to us. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Amen. So we're excited to be back over here. Man, we really have a lot of work doing. We're doing a lot of work down in Paraguay, but we had to come back for paperwork in order for us to continue the work that we're doing down there with the radio station and in the church that we're building. So quickly, I'm more interested in David's message. Amen. But I just want to say a couple of things. Just keep us in your prayer for our financial support. Keep us in your prayer for our church building project, and also keep us in your prayer for our radio station ministry that we're working to have down there. Right now, we just have a program on a secular radio, but we're planning on having our own station that's capable, is going to be capable of reaching the whole country of 7 million people. So please pray for that. It will come to pass, and God will use that for His glory and His honor. And I want to thank Pastor Mickey Carter for trusting me and believing in me. I got saved under this ministry, and everything that we're doing is because of somebody took the courage to say the truth. Amen. Amen. And I was really messed up. But anyways, I don't want to talk about me. I want to talk about the Lord Jesus and what He's doing down there in Paraguay. Amen. So I'm going to turn around, and I'm going to be showing you the slides as quick as we can. Amen. And so this is our family down there in Paraguay, my wife and my two sons. You can continue the slide. And so we got down there, and once we got down there, the first thing that we had to do was to repair our home, because the way they give you a house down there, you had to do all the work, and Landmark provided these cabinets for us, so we're excited about that. And this is the church that we went to be with for a short time, and we were preaching there at that church, and the Lord started doing great things. We started seeing a lot of souls getting saved, and we started ministering to young people and new converts, and God started working and going home to their homes and presenting the message and people getting saved. This family was having a hard time. We had to work with them, and then we kept going, visiting homes. We get into their homes, and they're excited when you go to their homes, and we got the opportunity to preach to them, and then the Lord kept just bringing more souls, and we saw the Lord work in a mighty way in this church there that we just went to stay there with them for a short period of time, but the Lord kept doing some things, and we had many new souls, converts, and we started teaching them in a new converts by a class there, and they started learning about being faithful to church, being baptized, and all the good things that we ought to be doing as Christian, and that really brought some excitement to that church there. And then we started the radio. That's the 90.3 radio station that we started there. Now that one we had to move over to our new location, but we got another station where we work in. Through the radio station, we saw people coming, and oh, by the way, we have a car now, so we're so glad that we were able to have our own transportation. And this is where God called us to work. We went there to see the area there, and the Lord touched my heart. He spoke to me, told me that was the place that he wanted me working, and we started working in the community, and people started coming. We started dividing the class right in the middle of the nowhere, and there the Lord started tugging my heart that we needed to start a church there, and so we kept working with the people. And it's a great community. Most of the people here are Roman Catholics, and so we are working with people that really don't know nothing about God, you know, through God. And so that was my pulpit there. I used my belly as a pulpit, and so the Lord just, we kept going from one part to another in that community, and God showed us that there was many souls there that needed to hear the gospel. So we finally purchased a property there, and we started clearing out and started building, and we just did this by faith, and God is working through us by faith. We're just believing God that he's going to do it, and some men started helping us, and we started continuing our services there in the property as we continue constructing the building. And so we saw, well, we needed some pews, so we went and got ourselves some brand new pews straight from the wood shack. Amen. So we got some nice, real nice pews, and we got some good young people that are growing up and learning the Bible, and they're excited that they have a church. By the way, this is the only church in that community. There's no other Baptist church, maybe in 25 radius mile. And so this is going to be the first fundamental Baptist church in that community. And so we made our own baptistry, and we brought it over to the church, and we just started baptizing new converts. And so the people are really excited that they're learning the truth about salvation, about a new relationship in Christ. And we even go to their homes, and we have services in their homes in the middle of the dark, and but there the Lord is working through that. More people are hearing us, the message of salvation, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that is the power of God unto salvation. And these folks here heard us on the radio. They came, they got saved and baptized, and we got the young people going out visiting, and we go to their home, and this is their living room, and we just preach right there in the middle of the living room. And they're hearing the gospel, people getting saved. This family of six ladies got saved, and the young people are following the leader. Amen. I'm excited that they're following us, and they want to serve God and do everything they can. And the people are really excited to know that they're part of a great work that is going on. And we went to this family, and they got saved, and they got baptized. We teach them over again. We teach them about the faith that they had just trusted the Lord, and we continue teaching them, and they get excited. They want us to be part of the service. These young ladies are helping with the young kids, and then we continue baptizing new converts, and this is our congregation, and the Lord is working in a mighty way. We also do the radio station on the go. That's the radio station on the go, and this is our new radio station that we're working with right now. We also continue going fellowshipping with other churches that got young people also of like faith. This church is in Lucas, and it's about 2 hours from where we at, and we have a good fellowship. This is our church group here again, and thank you for your support. Again, I just want to say again to keep us in your prayer about the about our support, that God will continue supporting, providing our support. We went without full support, and we believe that God will provide. We live by faith, and we know that He's going to do the impossible, and also keep the project of the construction of that building, that is going to be a blessing to those people there. Thank you, brothers, and God bless you.
All right, let's stand together again. 115, living for Jesus, a life that is true. Amen. 115, living for Jesus. We'll do the first and last verses.
Living for Jesus, a life that is true. Striving.
Is a prayer, isn't it? I hope it's your prayer as you think about that as we sing the last verse together now.
Living for Jesus through earth's little while, my dear.
Thank you so much. You may be seated.
Amen. We want you to pray for Brother Mojica. He's already starting to do a great work there, and we thank God for him, and to pray for him that while he's able to be here a little while, maybe the Lord will bring in that extra support that he needs as well. One of the great prayers would be that we'd be able to get this radio station, a personal radio station there, that, again, the regulations are not as tight as they are here. And so if we can just get the approval and get to the right people and maybe grease the right pockets and has it. You know, a lot of times in countries like that, it's money. Money talks. Amen. And so pray that God will open the doors and get him to the right people so that he can have a powerful. Folks, I don't, you know, there's so many people. Even tonight, as we talk, Brother Terrell Carter, pastor, was telling me that, think about our radio station and how many people found this church and are blessed because of the radio station. The first hearing of our ministry was through Gospel 90.3. And so again, God can do that not just in Haines City. He can do that anywhere, and he can use a radio. And again, brother, many of you maybe have come since we've had that a long time ago, but Brother Mojica cut his teeth on the AM. We had an AM Spanish station for a while, and he was doing quite a bit of work over there. So he's no stranger to radio, and I thank God for the work that they're doing. Thank you, brother, for coming and presenting again, and it was a blessing. I think it was ordained of the Lord that he'd be back here so that we could pray for him and see that again. We weren't expecting that, but I'm thankful that he got to do that. So tonight we have Brother David Gull. He's going to be a sent missionary out of our church. We've heard him preach before, but we've not seen his video tonight, so I'll ask him to come now. He's going to show his video, and brother, you preach for us afterwards, all right?
Здравствуйте, моя церковь, и добрый вечер, мои братья и сестры в Иисуса Христа. Я хочу говорю, Христос воскрес, воистину воскрес. As we say in English, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. I want to be a good steward of our time tonight, and so gentlemen, if we can go ahead and play the video, and then we'll come and see what the Lord has for us.
Imagine, if you could, your entire life, your family members living their entire life without ever being introduced to the person of Jesus Christ. While this is an unfamiliar thought for those of us here in the United States, all across the world, this is a reality for many people and many cultures. My name is David Gall. My wife, Lauren, and I have two children, Gabriel and Isaac. And God is sending us to the unreached people groups of Siberia, Russia. There are 185 people groups in the country of Russia, 185 different ethnic diversities. Of the 185 people groups in the country, 118 of them are completely untouched by the gospel. In 2011, God called us to the mission field to bring the gospel to these unreached people groups of Siberia, Russia. Would you prayerfully consider partnering with us through prayer and financial support to get the gospel to these dear people? God is sending us to work with these six people groups, the Tofalar, the Nganasen, the Dogon, the Ket, the Yenet, and the Evenki. They all desperately need your prayers, and they need the gospel. Join us as we go to reach the unreached.
If you have your Bibles with me this evening, I'd like you to take them and turn with me to the book of Genesis. In chapter number 22. There's not much that I could say tonight that has not already been said. I'm grateful and deeply humbled to be able to be at a conference with the men that have been here this week and to hear them share what God is doing in them and through them. And the gravity of tonight is not lost on me. What we have before us is a moment of decision. We are on the threshold of a great moving of God. I believe that. But if we are to play a part in His great work, there is a singular truth that we must reckon ourselves with, an issue that we cannot ignore. In Genesis chapter number 22, the Bible says, beginning in verse number 1, "And it came to pass after these things
that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. In verse number 7, the Bible says, And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father, and he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. As I look at this verse behind me, and I consider my responsibility as a Christian, not as a missionary, mind you, as a Christian, for the work that God has called us to is not the work of a special individual with some title. It is the responsibility of Christians. I am confronted altogether with a great obstacle, a fear, the fear of loss. If we are to be a part of God's work, then we are going to have to trust and obey. Make no mistake about it, my dear friends, our failure to finish the work is a failure of obedience. And so here we sit, and here we are gathered at the end of a conference. We've heard God's word preached to us, and God's faithful men pour out their hearts before us. But the time for listening is at an end. Tonight, when I am finished, an invitation will be given. And much like Abraham, an altar, a place of sacrifice, a place where things come to die, will be placed in front of you, and you will have a choice. Very quickly, in the time that I have, and I will be mindful of the time tonight, I want to examine three things about Abraham's obedience. Three things that we must apply to our own lives. Firstly, I would like you to understand tonight that Abraham's obedience was an obedience without rebuttal. God comes before Abraham, and Abraham's life couldn't be any better. God has given him the promised son, and God is keeping his promises. And Abraham looks to a bright future, a nation through whom the world will be blessed by God. And then God asks for the unthinkable. He says, Abraham, it's time for you to give him back. I would be the lying man if I told you here tonight that there is not fear in my heart as I consider the risk that my family and I face. I would be lying to you if I told you that it would be easier just to stay where it's safe. But when I look at what God asked of Abraham, and my heart can only begin to imagine the fear and the doubt and the pain as his heart is breaking apart. Dear God, what are you asking of me? And can I tell you this evening that if God had asked it of me, my immediate response would have been a justification and all the reasons why I couldn't do what he'd asked of me. But you know what Abraham said when God asked the impossible? He said nothing. He just obeyed. My friends, with all the sincerity and love in my heart, the time for words is done. Amen. Too long, our Christianity has just been
empty rhetoric that has been preached and sounded forth, and we have done nothing. Our world is burning. Our country's on fire. And when pressed to the edge, all we can consider is the price is too great. The cost is too high. As if God didn't know that when he asked. Abraham's actions were born out of obedience, not emotion. Not only was it an obedience without rebuttal, it was an obedience without reservation. Abraham is marching his son up a mountain. And I suspect that it was a quiet trip. What does a father say to his boy? And Isaac asks a question that doesn't make it any easier. Daddy, I see the wood. I see the fire. Where's the lamb? You know what Abraham said? The Lord will provide. Brother Gall, how are you going to take your family to a country that doesn't want you there? The Lord will provide. How will we see Baptist churches raise up in a country of Iceland where no one is, it seems like no one wants to be? God will provide. How will buildings be built in Paraguay? Radio started and souls reached. Lord, he'll provide. Friends, it is time we stop trying to come up with backup plans to God's plan. Brother Gall, what is your plan if they take you from your children? They take you from your home? The Lord will provide. Well, that's all good and great, but what's your plan? God is my plan. Amen. And he doesn't need my help. Abraham chose not to focus on what he was losing, but what God would give. He understood that his faith was not, don't miss this, my friends, his faith was not in the blessings of God, but in the God of the blessings. We're not dead. Our time is not done. There's still a work. America can be a godly nation one more time. And for all that communism stands as a pillar against a free world, my God is greater. I believe that. I believe it in my heart. I believe it in my soul. And I need not fear any man. And I need not fear the loss. It was an obedience without rebuttal. Without reservation. But it was an obedience without repentance. Abraham puts his boy on the wood. And I don't mean to be crude, but I need you to understand this was not a quick thing. He would have bound Isaac's hands and legs and slid him from his belly to his throat. Pulled all of his internal organs out from his body and burned him. His boy was going to suffer. It wasn't going to be quick. It was an impossible task. And we see no repentance, no hesitation. I found myself many weeks ago in the country of Ukraine in a room by myself. And I looked over the city of Kiev and had a picture of my wife and my little boys. And I began to weep, preacher. I can't do this, God. I'm not strong like a brother Chitty. I'm not intelligent like other missionaries. I don't have the the resolve. I can't do this. It's too much. You ask too much, God. The tears flowed. I'm heartbroken. What about my wife, Lord? What about my boys? You ask too much of me. And the Lord brought me to this passage. And he reminded me that he has not asked me to give anything he has not already given. That in the uttermost parts of the world, I am not alone. That he's enough. And my heart broke. All right, Lord. Take care of my family. Keep them safe. My friends, what I'm asking you to do tonight, no, what God is asking you tonight is not an easy thing. I understand that. And there is a price that every one of us is going to need to pay. And it's going to be too much. It's going to be too high. But he asked us to obey. Belief dictates behavior. And either we leave this place tonight and we practice what we say we believe, or our Christianity is just words. I am not great, and I am not gifted. But if I could stand before the Father and hear him say, "Well done, son. Welcome home," that would be enough. So tonight, let us take all we've heard. All that God is. Let us trust him. And obey. With every head bowed and every eye closed. My daddy used to say that the difference between teaching and preaching is that preaching would bring a person to a point of decision. The challenge tonight is simple. Every one of us has an Isaac to lay down.